Now, a letter to myself with Joel Chua on CNA 938.
Thanks so much, as always, for joining us. Our guests today are a husband and wife team who are passionate about education and tech. Specifically, they want to make AI education more accessible for adults and mid-career professionals. They left stable and lucrative careers in tech to start their own academy, and they're walking the talk. They say that by using their own AI tools, they're saving up to $10,000 a month, maybe a bit more, in fact, in operating costs for their own business, sharing with us what they've learned on their journey as tech educators and entrepreneurs, the co-founders of Hey Coders Academy, Kong Yuning and Bei Min Yan. A very warm welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
It's our pleasure to have you in the studio indeed. So there are many tech academies around, right, teaching AI-related skills as well these days. What exactly sets Hey Coders Academy apart?
I think there are three things that sets us apart. I think the first thing is really, you know, the course content and curriculum that we have. We actually collaborate with some of the best companies, best AI companies in the world, to actually craft this content. For example, we currently have a partnership with Manus AI. I'm not sure if you guys heard of them, but they recently got acquired by Meta, right?
Yep, that's
right. So we have a partnership with them to kind of directly contribute to our course content that makes it highly relevant. And I think that's the really first thing that sets us apart. The second thing is really our instructors. We are very proud of all of our instructors because they come from, you know, high-flying careers in, you know, top tech companies. In fact, they are still currently working in some of these companies, but they are also so passionate about, you know, spreading the gospel about AI that they actually take extra time to come and teach for us. You know, all of their salary is really high, but they don't really need to do this for the money. But, you know, they are really passionate about kind of like contributing back to the society. And I think that's the reason why, you know, they are teaching with us. And so I think our instructor is really, really solid. And I think the third thing is really kind of like our company, we try to walk the talk. So we don't just teach about AI, but we try to, you know, weave in AI into the things that we do ourselves to kind of like cut costs, for example, as you mentioned during the introduction.
Yes, yeah. And we'll find out a little bit more about how exactly you guys do that in just a little while. I mentioned that you're saving about $10,000, but just now you said, before the mics came on, you said that it's probably quite a bit more than that today.
Yes, it's way more than that now.
Okay, great. We'll hear from you in just a little while. So you started the academy, both of yourselves, in 2020. What were the events that led you to start the academy? Because I understand that, I mean, I was speaking to Yuning earlier before we came on air, and you shared with me that the both of you left pretty lucrative, very stable careers as well to do this. Why did you want to do this?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, at that time, I was actually a software engineer and data scientist while Yuning was holding a pretty senior role as a product manager when he left his role for Hey Coders. So I think one thing that we realized very early on is that there are actually a lot of training providers in the space, right? All, you know, touting that they teach about tech. But the problem is most of the people conducting these courses, they might be actually out of the market for 10, 20, maybe even 30 years. They're just teaching full time. So they're a little bit disconnected with the tech industry, right? While people who can actually get these people jobs, tech professionals themselves, are in very lucrative jobs. So they don't really have much of an incentive to teach.
And that was the both of you.
Yeah. So we're basically very connected in the tech space. And we felt that really, if you want to help people you know, transition and pivot into a tech career, you need to be taught by someone who actually knows the ins and outs of it. So that's what we decided, like, oh, let's start Hey Coders and just bring something different to the table.
And you guys started Hey Coders 2020. This was even before the both of you got married.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So most people usually apply for BTO first and then get married. So both of you decided to start a company first, then get married.
Yeah, that was our project.
That was a BTO.
Yes, that's right.
The litmus test to whether we can have a marriage.
Yeah. It's very much like raising a child, right?
I was going to say, yes.
Yeah, you have to work in partnership. You know, manage conflicts, things like that.
Right. How has the relationship grown, both as business partners and life partners? How has that evolved and grown since you guys started working together and being married?
I think it's really quite a symbiotic relationship, really. So whatever we learned in our personal relationship does translate to, you know, how we know how to manage each other professionally. Likewise, if we're both having a very hectic week, we know to give each other some space, you know, in our personal lives. Yeah. So it's been good, actually, that it cuts down the introductory cost. Like, you don't have to, you know, start afresh and get to know each other.
The introductory cost.
Yes. You know, that transition period where you're just getting to know each other better as colleagues and things like that.
Right.
You can skip that.
Yuning?
Yeah. I think it's really nice because, you know, every day when I work with Mingyan, I just find myself thinking that, wow, I'm actually really grateful and appreciative because, you know, not only do I have her as a wonderful wife, but, you know, I have such a competent, you know, partner working alongside me in this business.
Just saying that because Mingyan is right here looking at you.
No. I think people that know the both of us know that we actually are very deeply appreciative of each other. But I think more importantly, because she understands me so well as a partner, you know, it kind of like allows us to have this really strong relationship going to the business as well. And I think that's what allowed us to kind of like, you know, bring headquarters from ground, even though we started with just the two of us. You know, we were one of the late entrants in the market, but yet we managed to kind of like raise headquarters to this level. Mm. I think partly because of the fact that we have a very strong relationship and we were able to, you know, get very strong leverages as a result. Yeah.
Right. And just in, I think later on in the conversation, I'll ask you to share with us a little bit more about what contributes to the strength of your relationship as business partners and as life partners as well, right? Mm. You said that, you know, you credit what Headquarters has achieved to the strength of the partnership that you have. What has Headquarters achieved? What are you most proud of having achieved over the past 5 years since Headquarters was founded?
Mm. I think there are 2 points that I would just want to raise. I think the first thing is that, you know, we have a very strong and wonderful student community. Like most other providers or most other schools when, you know, students graduate from their school, that's it. They kind of no longer have this connection. Yeah. But for us, actually, all our students are channeled into a community where they continue to help each other. Mm. So it's not just us helping the students, but, you know, sometimes students when, you know, even after they graduate from our course, they run into some problems, they ask in a community Telegram chat, other students that have graduated years ago will actually help this student. For example, you know, be it providing a referral for a certain job that they're interested in, etc. And I think that's something that we are really proud of because we have built a community that's self-sustaining,
right,
and they continue to help build each other up. And I think that's something that we are truly, truly very proud of.
Mm. Your students are all adult learners. They're all mid-career professionals, right?
Yes, a lot of our students are mid-career transition, people that are trying to transition to a different career or people that are just trying to pick up new skills to kind of like, you know, build themselves up to stay relevant. But increasingly, we have seen a trend where now there are more and more corporate interests, which ties me to the second, you know, achievement that I think we have. Mm. Like in the past, when we first started this business, it took a lot of effort to convince like those big companies to, hey, you know what, Headquarters is a good company that you can, you know, engage to do your corporate training and stuff like that. But these days, you know, we are not even actively looking for such companies, but on average, we get 3 to 5 companies coming to us every day, just asking, hey, you know, do you guys provide AI training? And I think a large part of that is really attributed to our very strong student community because they love our courses. And then so they start telling their bosses, you know, or other companies that they speak to, other vendors that they speak to, hey, you know, you should consider Headquarters. And I think this is an achievement that we're proud of. I mean, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, it's really the relationship that, you know, we look back very fondly upon. Yeah.
Mm. Mingyan, anything to add to that?
I think for me, it's really certain, you know, conversations that I had with my, you know, ex-students. What makes me really proud is that I will see someone who, you know, graduated from a course 3 to 4 years ago. And I'm like, hey, welcome back. And they're like, yeah, I haven't forgotten about you. I've just been so busy with life. But then, you know, I saw you just released this new course and I'm super excited about
right.
it. I think we have, on average, most of our students have taken at least like 3 courses with us, mm-hmm. Which really speaks to the strength of our word of mouth and our brand as
right.
well.
Okay. So your courses are all exclusively AI-centric. Are they?
Not necessarily. So we actually have maybe a software engineering track, a data analytics track for different tech careers out there.
But now the hottest thing is
generative AI.
Specifically generative AI.
Yes.
So how is your curriculum oriented or designed around teaching generative AI? Because it generative AI itself is pretty broad, isn't it? Yeah.
I think the thing that makes our generative AI course very different from most other courses out there is that most other courses focus on this thing called prompt engineering.
Prompt engineering.
Yes, correct. Mm. And the very idea of prompt engineering is how can you give clear instructions to the AI so that it can produce higher quality output.
Yes.
Right. So that's really pretty much what most courses focus on. They spend around 21 hours just teaching about prompt engineering. But I think what many people do not know is that the large language models have since advanced. They have advanced in this paradigm called the thinking models, where they are much smarter. So what this means, right, is that you no longer need to give very lengthy kind of instructions for them to give you high quality output. So we kind of do still teach prompt engineering, but our focus for prompt engineering is reduced. Instead, we spend that additional time touching on this thing called AI agents. Now, if you look at the news, you'll see that people are saying that, you know, AI is disrupting the industry, you know, jobs are being lost. It's not because of ChatGPT or prompt engineering. It is really because of AI agents. And so that's the reason why we spend a large part of the time, you know, teaching AI agents in this course, which
what
makes
it
different.
What are AI agents?
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you asked that actually. So
had AI... to ask that. That was the obvious question.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I was going to go get to that. So, I mean, if you look at a large language model would be like something like ChatGPT, where you ask it question and can just speed answer back at you. But an AI agent is very different. You know, from the interface, it looks exactly like ChatGPT. But what makes them different is that they can do things for you. For example, today I can give, you know, an AI agent a line of instructions saying something like, hey, you know what? I need you to build a corporate slide deck with this certain design, and I want you to use this other information to kind of create the slide deck for me. And you can just do that in a matter of 5 minutes. So really, you know, you are able to achieve work-life balance because of the advent of AI agents. This is just a tip of iceberg what they can do. They can build websites in a matter of three minutes for someone without any coding experience. And that's what's really, you know, disrupting the industry. And that's the reason why we move our center of gravity to focusing on, you know, AI agents.
Right. And yeah. Is that how you guys are saving upwards of $10,000 a month in operating costs?
Yes, exactly. Let me give you a very interesting example. So in the past, right, coding was only accessible, you know, like building nice mobile apps and, you know, games was only accessible to people that knew coding, right? But, you know, one day, so now in this age of AI agent, right, it is very different. So one day our marketing team had an idea, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could just build a mini game, you know, to kind of just market about our courses. And, you know, in the past, this would have taken, you know, a full team of AI, a full team of engineers, maybe 1 week to build. But, you know, for our team, two marketing people without any coding experience, they built it in just one single day. And it's amazing. And we got so much traction from that. So I think, you know, with AI agents, this is becoming an era where, you know, ideas are no longer cheap. Ideas becomes valuable because now you can actually execute them. And I think, you know, we are really excited to be living in this current age.
Yeah. What's it like for you, Minyan, to see this evolution of how technology is being used?
I think it really is quite amazing because it shows in also the demographic of students that we take. I feel like several years back, a lot of our students were people who really just wanted to pivot in, about 70% of these people. But I think the majority of people are just, I want to learn about tech to use in my roles right now. So we actually get people from much wider range of different industries, and they're just wondering, hey, how do I use Gen AI to build my slides, to do my data entry work? And, you know, so I can focus on aspects of my work that are, you know, higher value and that I enjoy more.
I guess the question a lot of listeners may be asking now, are these tools already available to us lay people?
Absolutely.
Off the shelf.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can, you know, use all of these things with no paid subscriptions. They are available to you for free, like Menus, a very popular AI agent that Yunung was talking about. Yeah, it is, you know, you can use it for free and you can really get a lot of mileage out of it even without paying for any subscriptions.
Right. Yeah, so we actually have a partnership with Menus AI where they provide free credits to all of our students so that they get to build interesting projects after the course. And a lot of students of ours have built very interesting websites, for example, COE price predictor or like stock picker, you know, really, really interesting projects.
Thanks so much for staying with us on The Letter to Myself on CNA 938. With us in the studio today, husband and wife, co-founders of Hey Coders Academy, which provides AI and software engineering training to adults and mid-career professionals. Their names are Kong Yuning and Bei Min Yan. They were sharing with us why they feel so passionate about AI. At this point in time, Min Yan and Yuning, if you could write a letter to your younger selves based on the journey that you've been on, the lessons you've learned along the way, what would you say in this letter to your younger selves? Let's begin with Yuning.
Sure thing. I think the first letter I'll write to myself is, don't reject yourself before other people reject you. The reason is because when I look back in my life, right, I realized that since growing up, you know, whenever there's like some opportunities, like a leadership opportunity in maybe your primary school, for example, or even up to adulthood, where recently I was offered a C-suite role with like 3 to 4 times compensation, I was like, I don't think I am good enough for that. And I think this is oftentimes something that's big in our DNA as Singaporeans, because I actually spent a couple of years studying overseas. Mm. And one thing I realized is that, you know, for Singaporeans, we are always very humble. When opportunities come along our way, we always say, I don't think we are good enough. I don't think we're ready. But when it comes to the people from the Western Hemisphere, they have this attitude of fake it till you make it. Mm. You know, they will just say yes to everything. And then later on, you know, they realize, hey, actually, I can't do it, but it's okay. They just shrug it off.
I'll figure it out along the way.
Yeah. So I think that's something that we really need to start, you know, becoming, you know, start embracing, you know, it's okay to fail. Just say yes first.
Right.
Then, you know, if other people say no, it's fine. You know, life moves on.
Yeah. Right. Well, why do you think, you know, that is the observation you have, that, you know, that the general observation that you shared with us, that, you know, many Singaporeans perhaps, you know, are perhaps overly humble and modest about our own abilities?
Okay. I gave you a very interesting example. So when I was in Columbia University studying, right, there was this module where all of us have to rate ourselves based on our skills, right? So one of the questions that the professor asks is, how many of you think that you're good at programming? Are you a level one programmer or a level two programmer? And all the Singaporeans, all of us went through degrees that, you know, required us to do quite a lot of coding. I myself did a bachelor's in computer science, actually. So, but I said that I'm just a level one coder. And then we had the people from the Western Hemisphere that said, I'm a level two coder. So the professors will mix all of us up. So I end up being the weaker coder in my group. And when I asked the supposedly strong coder in my group, you know, hey, you know, what have you learned in programming? So I said, oh, I actually just did a math degree. The only programming language I know is MATLAB. Those of you that know what is MATLAB, is basically not, it's just a simple language that you can just, it's kind of like a language or calculator.
Right.
Yeah. You can't build anything like websites or the likes of it with it. And this same story applies to all my Singaporean friends. All of us were like, huh, we should be the level two coder, not the level one coder. But, you know, this is something I realize, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Minyan looks like she really wants to say something.
It's not so much about taking up opportunities that are offered to you, but also having the thick skin to go out and reach out. I feel like a lot of Singaporeans have, you know, I'm not very thick skin. I think the Asian values are more of, you know, they're afraid of embarrassing themselves. Mm. So sometimes you just need to thicken your skin a bit and, you know, ask for an opportunity to network or speak to someone.
Right. Has the skin been thickened sufficiently since you guys started the journey?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, for sure.
Yuling? Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
Part of the hustling journey.
Yes. Part of the hustling journey, right? Yes. Running a business, right? Looking That's for right. business and making it work, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Absolutely.
So thanks very much, Yuling, for sharing that first message to your younger self, which is don't reject yourself before others do. Right, give more credit to yourself. Right?
Yes,
and this reminds me of a conversation we had actually yesterday evening with a corporate leadership coach, and the idea of imposter syndrome came up. You guys are familiar with imposter syndrome,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah, it's so true. Common. All of us have experienced it at some point in time, and that's what you're sharing essentially, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Minyan. What's your message in your letter to your younger self?
I'd say the headline would be something like rethink traditional education. Because I grew up in a, you know, time. And I think it's still quite relevant to many parents and you know, anxious P6 kids today. You know, PSL is important and, you know, your national exams are important. While they do hold some weight, I think in the long run, it's really the extracurriculars that you engage yourself in, how you build, you know, a colourful life and a personality, right? Pursuing your passions. For me, I think I took that road less traveled, where I actually spent a lot of time outside of school, sometimes actually staying overnight in school for projects as early as in my secondary school days. And, you know, I did a lot of volunteering in those days. I think most of my, you know, I would say life experiences were gained outside of that classroom.
Could you share with us particularly significant life lessons that you gained and how did you gain it outside of the classroom?
Right. So I think for me, taking my volunteering experiences, for example, because I was quite passionate about education, causes in education. So I actually engage various communities, maybe underprivileged children, for instance, and equipping them with tech skills very early on. I also tried to go overseas. I worked quite long term with an orphanage in Cambodia because I just wanted to not be one of those people who just do voluntourism and focus on building long-term capabilities and equipping and training the teachers, the local teachers, to be able to design curriculum and help the children in the orphanage.
Right. Yeah. How did the insights that you gained about education and how people relate to education, how did these insights help you later on in your journey?
I think a lot of it is understanding that, education is not just learning something, but really, what will you do with what you've learned? The impact that you're going to make with the knowledge. And I feel that this is actually relating to my point about rethinking traditional education, because with the availability of information these days, the decade that we live in now is quite different from, the one I grew up in. So, what that means is it's so easy to get information now. So that just in case education mindset, where you try to be really good at history, geography, everything, you don't have to memorize every detail because you can look it up later, but more of when you're going to be assigned a project, you need to do it really well. How do you actually leverage your resources at your disposal? Being able to learn whatever you need in a just-in-time way, rather than, just in case.
Right.
So I think that part of education really spoke out to me when I was, serving these communities.
Right. Being able to connect the dots outside of the classroom, right?
That's
and create something new and novel.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing that. Rethink traditional education, what you can learn outside of the classroom is so often, especially in today's day and age, probably potentially even more valuable than what you can learn in the classroom.
Absolutely.
Because you've got AI agents to do all the classroom thinking for you, right?
Yes.
Thank you. What, Yuning, let's come back to yourself. What's your second message in your letter to your younger self?
I think when you're young, right, and you still have the energy, right, just go out there, make as much friends as possible and socialize other people. The reason why I say that is because, when I look back at my past, right, I realized that actually a lot of the people that ended up helping us in the business, right, were the friends that we made much earlier in the earlier part of lives. For example, I just now earlier shared about our partnership with Manus AI, right? That was also because a friend of mine I met in an earlier company, three companies ago that I worked with, actually, we like each other enough that we actually kind of like, formalize this kind of partnership, which is very difficult because for a small Singapore education startup to be partnered with one of the global giants in the world, it's just unthinkable. But, it's just funny how a small friendship can blossom into something that becomes that meaningful for a business. So I just wish that when I was younger, I kind of like, spend a bit more effort to socialize, not because of business, but more of like, actually, you only live once. You just want to spend that time to know as many people as possible. The personal relationship matters a lot. And I think it becomes more pronounced, especially in this age of AI where you're surrounded by robots and AI. You ideally want to maintain and have that kind of relationship with other people.
Yeah, I like the contrast in what you're sharing because you are in AI and you're so passionate about AI.
Yes.
And we all know the potential of how AI can, technology in general, but perhaps, specifically AI can cause a human disconnect between people, right? Mm-hmm. But you're saying now that with more intention, we need to make an effort to find connections and socialize with others.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Mm. Thank you very much for sharing that, Yuning.
Yeah, no problem.
What's Min Yan's second message in your letter?
I'd say think carefully about your big life decisions. Mm. And I think a lot of people would think about maybe the school that they're going to apply to in university. But for me, I think it's about finding the right life partner because it has very, very big consequences for a very, very long period of time. Hopefully to the end of your life. So I would say, for instance, the personality, maybe the baggages that they bring along, they all affect your day-to-day living. And, just being wise about it, maybe consult your people around you, your friends, your parents, whether it's the right person for you.
Would you consult an AI agent?
Well, potentially, but I didn't have that with me when I made the decision to marry Yuning. But thankfully, it's been a good decision. So I would say that's what I would write in the letter to myself to really, really think carefully about these decisions.
I've got to ask, having heard you say that, how did the both of you meet?
We were actually from the same faculty in SMU. So that was when we knew about each other existence. But it was much later when I actually started up another company back then. And she actually came to interview for that company. So I was the interviewer for that role. Okay. So that was how we actually, kind of like have a proper friendship.
That just for the record, we only started dating after we both left that company.
Everything was professional.
There was no workplace dating going on.
Important disclaimer. So you were kind of like assessing her and she was assessing you also.
For different reasons.
You're listening to A Letter to Myself on CNA 93. Let's continue our conversation with the co-founders of Hey Coders Academy. Their names are Kong Yuning and Bei Min Yan, husband and wife, who started the academy about 6 years ago in 2020. When we were talking a little bit off air, Yuning, I was struck by how passionate and excited you were about some of the use cases for AI agents. Mm. Right? Tell us why you're so excited.
Let me tell you why. It's very simple. Now, usually when there is like big technological breakthroughs, right, the party that benefits most from this kind of technological breakthrough are the companies, right? Because they make more money, you know, they get to hire less people. But I think with AI agents, right, it's also quite fair to individuals as well. Let me give you an example of a student of ours. So he was halfway through our course when we introduced him to an AI agent where it's pretty much like ChatGPT, where you can just type commands to it and it can do stuff for you. And once he got exposed to that, the next day he came to us and told us, hey, you know, I've managed to automate 60% of my work. You know, yesterday, instead of working a full day, I had half the day to spend the time with my daughter. You know, that's amazing because...
What was the nature of his work again?
So he's actually in blue collar work, but one of the things that he actually does is because every day he gets all sorts of requests for quotations, right? And usually for quotations, you have to make customization in Word document. You need to download as PDF and send to people. But with AI agent, what he actually did was just say, hey, read all those emails for me, create a PDF quotation for each of them and send the email back to them. He doesn't need to even go to Gmail to do that at all.
Right, but don't you have to like double check?
He did double check, of course. But you know, so most of his time was just spent, you know, checking. So he did everything in half a day. He was very happy and told us, you know, wow, I managed to get half a day. Of course, he told us not to tell his bosses, but my point is this, like, you know, with AI agents, it's not just big companies that are benefiting, but individuals like us, we might actually be able to get some semblance of work-life balance, you know, to spend more time on things that are meaningful to us, the people that matter to us. And that's why I'm so excited about potential. Yeah.
Very nice. So making a very good case. Mm-hmm. What's the future like for Hey Coders Academy? It started in 2020 and both of you recently went full-time into the academy, right? Mm.
So I think recently we have been getting a lot of traction in corporate engagement. And I think we want to, you know, continue to double down on that. To be honest, we do not have any grand strategy. We always believe that the magic is in the execution. So we'll just continue to delight our clients and just, you know, give them as much value as possible so that, you know, they can, you know, reap the maximum benefit out of AI.
I feel like we won't do anything, you know, drastically different. Just focusing on every single student and giving them the most value, not just in the classroom, but from the moment we first have our touch point with them all the way till after, checking in with them after they have graduated. I think they can actually feel our sincerity when we put our heart in the work. And I think that's quite important.
We actually always jokingly call it the Michelin experience, because when you go to a Michelin restaurant, right, it's not just about the food, but it's about, you know, from the very moment you enter the restaurant till you leave the restaurant, all the experience end to end really matters. And that's something that we're trying to kind of like standardize and, you know, deliver to all our clients.
It's kind of embedded, entrenched in our values. And I feel like that really wouldn't change. And we need to double down on that in future even.
Right. It's that human experience.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Again, I like the contrast, right? You guys are doing AI and technology, but fundamentally, it's really about humanizing the experience, being more human about that experience, right?
Yeah. Wow, you said it so well. I couldn't have said it better.
you can quote me and just pay me some royalties every time you use what I just said.
Let's do that off the table.
All right. At this point in time, right? I mean, you guys, you know, you've worked together as business partners and as a married couple as well, mm. right? What is the main ingredient that makes your relationship work?
I think it's mostly about being intentional about everything. For instance, because, you know, as entrepreneurs, you know, the lines between your work and your life, sometimes it tends to blur out. So it's really important to be protective of your personal time and literally sending a calendar invite to block it out so that, you know, we spend intentional time together, mm. You know, in our personal life. I think on top of that, it's also about giving each other space mm. because, I mean, we spend a lot of time together. So I would say in our personal life, sometimes we need some alone time. And even our professional lives, because we manage different teams, we actually spend sufficient time apart and kind of growing out our personality that way rather than being so, you know, intertwined with each other.
Right. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts, Yuning?
I think there are two things that matters to me. So I think the first thing is that you must really respect your partners. From my point of view, Ming Yan is someone that I think very highly of. I think she's one of the smartest person I know. And also as a wife, she's very dutiful as well. So I think that very core respect shapes how, you know, my action actually manifests. And I think that's very important. I think the second thing is really those little acts of kindness really does help go a long way. For example, be it tugging her under the blanket or, you know, filling up her cup with like water. Those kind of little things actually matters more than fancy gifts and beautiful words.
Agreed. I guess love language matches.
Beautiful.
Acts of service.
Yeah. That's very nice. Yeah. At this point in time, you shared with us your letters to your younger selves earlier. If you could write another letter this time to your future self, what would be the big message in this letter?
I think this is a very unconventional question because the assumption is usually that your future self is wiser and then you write to your past self, right? But I think that... I think what I would say to my future self is really more of, you know, don't forget, you know, some things that you used to have in the past. For instance, that zest for life, you know, being, you know, having, seeing everything in through the lens of awe and wonder, like, wow, there's so much there to explore. Sometimes when you get a little older, you feel a little bit more weary about everything around you. So just having, despite the physical pains and challenges, really just going out there and, you know, experience what life has to offer. I think that's why I would write in that letter.
Very nice. Thank you for sharing that. Yuning?
I would say that I hope you got to where you are by not taking shortcuts and you did not forget, you know, why you did everything in the first place.
Why did you do everything in the first place?
For example, you know, we started Hey Coders with this simple mission of really just having impact in the lives of our learners, not just to be there to, you know, make money as a business, but really that's the reason why we quit very lucrative careers, right? Because if we wanted money, we would have just gone to trading. But the reality is that we really want to have impact. So we never want to forget that. And I hope that 30 years later, I can tell myself proudly, hey, I stayed true to my mission. I stayed the course. I did not take shortcuts. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and your messages to your younger selves. We really appreciate it. It's been a very enriching conversation we've been having with the co-founders of Hey Coders Academy, Kong Yuning and Bei Min Yan. If you'd like to find out more, their website is heycodersacademy.com and Hey Coders is spelled H-E-I CodersAcademy.com. Kong Yuning, Bei Min Yan, thank you so much for sharing with us your letters to yourselves. Really appreciate it. You've been listening to A Letter to Myself on CNA 938.